This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
I'm Mark Boulanger. Artificial intelligence is being touted as a new way of providing education. But a recent report commissioned by Education International warns that it may be used to degrade the quality of education, worsen working conditions for teachers, and provide inferior schooling for students. EI is the global union for teachers and other educators. It represents 32 million teachers and education support personnel in 178 countries. The new report is entitled The Unintended Consequences of Artificial Intelligence and Education. It was written by Wayne Holmes, an associate professor at University College London. I asked Mr. Holmes how AI technologies can replace teachers.
I don't think AI can replace educators. That's my general point. The problem is that the history of the research of AI and education for 40 plus years now has all been about how can we automate what teachers do. Benjamin Bloom came up with the notion that having one-to-one tuition is much better for learning than when students are in a group situation. But the problem is that we can't have one-to-one tuition for every individual student. We don't have enough teachers. So the argument was, well, can we not use artificial intelligence to develop automated teachers one-to-one for every student? So that's the background. But the problem is that what those tools do is actually very little compared to what a human teacher does. So as far as I'm concerned at the moment, there is no way that any AI tool that exists today is capable of replacing a human educator. But nevertheless, they are attempting to replace teacher function. And I've lost track of the number of times I've been at a big conference where a commercial AI edtech company will stand up and say, we believe that the teacher is the most important person in the classroom. And they spend 30 seconds telling us that, and then they spend 29 minutes and 30 seconds telling us how their tool is better than a teacher. So we have that pressure from the commercial sector. And we also have the pressure from policymakers and the school leadership team who are keen to go beyond human teachers, if only they could, because the AI doesn't go on strike, the AI doesn't need a holiday, the AI doesn't get sick. So if we could use AI, then that would be fantastic. Now, most of the people in the AI research community only believe that the tools they develop are useful for, I don't know, 10 minutes a day. But the emphasis we're getting elsewhere from the commercial sector and from policymakers is that these tools can eventually do the job of teachers. The reality is they simply cannot. So it's important we think about these issues so we don't sleepwalk into a situation where suddenly we do have situations where in a physical classroom, the students are engaging with an AI tool and the adult human in the room, their job is just to switch the equipment on and maintain behavior. If we're not careful, that's the direction we could end up.
How could AI be used ethically and effectively to help educators in their work?
We need to think about what are the actual problems that educators face on a daily basis. As I say, most of the research has been about automating what teachers do. My argument is that we should reconfigure that, change that trajectory, and be thinking about, well, how can we use these technologies to actually support teachers, to help teachers do what teachers believe are the problems that need to be addressed in the classroom. What can that involve? Well, I'm not being trite, but I think we need to speak to far more teachers to establish exactly what they need from these technologies. Now, a big caveat for that, most people are aware of now ChatGPT and the other generative AI that exploded into the scene just a year ago. And these tools are being sold not only as tools to support students, but also as tools to support teachers for things like lesson planning or preparing notes and slides. Now, like anything that is a shortcut, it can be helpful, but being a shortcut means all the nuances or the subtleties or the expertise gets washed out. So we need to be really careful when teachers engaging with the tools that we have access today to make sure that they're really critical with the outputs that they're being provided and that they only use them when they really do genuinely support what the individual educator is trying to achieve.
One of the issues that Radio Labor has reported on is the use of educational tools designed by big, huge companies in Africa. What they do is they supply the educational material, maybe video, maybe sound, maybe books, whatever, but then they hire people who are not trained. They barely have a high school education. Do you think that's what's going to happen with AI?
It's a really good point. Some time ago, I was speaking with people from the XPRIZE, a big challenge-based organization in the USA that sets out million-dollar prizes for groups tackling big problems. And one big problem they set up was an AI system to replace a teacher. And I said to them, this is crazy. You know, you're misunderstanding the role of a human teacher in a classroom. It's not just about getting across certain facts or information or training in certain skills. It's much more complex than that. It's about relationships, about collaboration. It's about enabling young people to become the best they can become, to self-actualize and to develop as young people who can contribute effectively to the society they're a part of. Education is not just about getting this information across. But they stopped me in my tracks and said, well, hang on a second. What about rural areas of developing countries where they don't have human teachers who can do what we've just been talking about? Surely we should be using the technology in those circumstances. And when they said that to me, I was a bit confused. I didn't know how to respond to that because how could I stand there and say we shouldn't have AI in those settings because in those settings, teachers don't exist. But as you point out, there are adults in those settings. The problem is that those adults, for whatever reason, haven't had the training or support that they need to become experienced and qualified and competent educators. So if we put these tools into those situations, the old models, well, then surely that's going to help the children. And those children, they have a human rights education. Surely that's going to help. But it forgets lots of things. Firstly, lots of these places we're talking about, they don't have electricity. But how's the tech going to work? Well, let's imagine they do have electricity. They often don't have the internet. So how are they going to connect? And let's imagine they do have the internet as well. Often they don't have professionals there who are capable of fixing the technologies, the laptops, whatever, or the phones, when they stop working. And we all know these tools stop working all the time. And without that, these tools are just going to work for a few months, they're going to break, they're going to sit on the shelf and not be used anymore. And all it's really going to do, putting these technologies into those situations, is going to help a very small cohort of students. And yes, they might benefit from it, and yes, they might do better. But it doesn't address the real problem that we're talking about. And the real problem is not the fact that the children are not getting the education they deserve. That's a fundamentally important symptom. But the real cause, the real problem, is that the societies locally, but also internationally, are not putting the emphasis in, not providing the support, the professional development, the connections that these potential teachers need. So going back to an earlier conversation, what can we be doing with this tool? Well, in that circumstance, perhaps we should be using the tools to support those individuals to become qualified, experienced, professional educators. And there are ways that could happen, perhaps using the technology to help build networks between different villages, between the villages and the city centre and the teacher training centres and so forth. So we need to think about how we can use these technologies to actually support educators directly so that they have the opportunity to learn more, to become more professional, become more experienced. And it's only in that way we'll be able to help those children who really need that education. So in other words, depending on the technology, I guarantee it's not going to solve anything. We have to think about the people.